Welcome to everyone this morning. Be part of this worship experience and celebration of who Jesus is in our lives. This month, as I'm sure most of us are aware, is the eighth anniversary or eighth year after those terrible attacks on the United States and the different institutions or strengths of our country. As you know, for those of us who are 10 years and older, we probably remember it pretty clearly. Those of you children who are less than 10 years old will probably not remember that day very well. But it was a day that many of us remember where we were and what we were doing when we heard that some big jets flew into the World Trade Centers. One jet loaded with fuel, loaded with people, flew into one World Trade Center in New York City. And a few minutes later, another big jet loaded with people and fuel flew into the second tower and brought those huge buildings down. And then the third plane flew into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., loaded with people and fuel. It's a tragic day in America. It was another plane that was going to be now determined to be flying into the White House or the Capitol, and it was kept from doing that by some brave people on board that plane, and of course they ended up crashing in western Pennsylvania. So 8 years later, as we look back at what has happened in our world since then, how that has changed our world, how that has changed the way we view the world itself. It has changed how we view probably America itself. It certainly has changed the way we travel. It has changed the cost of commodities. It has changed the cost of our taxes. It has affected just a lot, almost every area of our life, what happened 8 years ago when those men, religious zealots, with a desperate cause, took over, hijacked those planes, killed the pilots, and took over flying those planes, and brought all that devastation. And as I was thinking about that this month, that happened on September 11th of 2001, I was thinking about that and hearing a lot of people talking about it this month and just reflecting on what that has done, what that has meant for us personally. And as I thought, how can a couple men make such terrible decisions? I had to think about a philosophy that I believe, you know, the content that we bring into our minds, it will determine our concepts, what we think about, which will determine our conduct, and that determines our character. So first of all, you have content. Things that come into us help shape our concepts, what we think and believe in, that determines our conduct, how we act, and it essentially determines our character. So what did those men take in? What was the content that they took in that caused them to make such decisions? And I would like to read a few scriptures here just to kind of bring out a contrast that I think ties in with our thoughts this morning as we go into our classes. Out of James chapter 3. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the conduct of his life his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you are bitter and have strife in your hearts, do not glory and do not lie against the truth. This wisdom, I want you to see that there's two sources of wisdom that we see here. This wisdom descends not from above, but it is earthly, it is sensual, it is devilish. That's one kind of wisdom. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Here's the contrast. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. See the contrast? There's one source of wisdom. There's one wisdom that is earthly. It's devilish, it's sensual, it's selfish. There's another wisdom from above, from heaven, and it is first of all pure and peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. So it depends which source that we have, depends what our actions are going to be. Those radical men with a religious cause, they believed in what they were doing, but their source was not the true source. Because what they were trained in to believe, and here's something right out of the Quran, which I pulled from the Quran. It says, their Bible or their Quran says, kill the infidels wherever you find them and drive them out from wherever they are. That's the philosophy that they believe in. Contrast that to the wisdom that comes from above, and where Jesus taught in Matthew to love your enemies. See, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. There's a contrast. One source of wisdom says, kill those who oppose you, who don't believe like you do. The other source says, believe in love, act in love. The two sources. So, wisdom not only affects our view of how we view those who believe in radical Islam, but what I'd like to make practical for us today, it includes that. The wisdom from above affects how we respond to our daily pressures and the daily tests and the daily disappointments that we may face and the misunderstanding that we have. How do we respond when things don't go our way? How short is our fuse? Where do we draw our wisdom from? Let's think about that as we go to our classes. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning so grateful that we have been instructed in the biblical source of wisdom. Lord, some of us are still wrestling with how that applies in our life and how to live it out. All of us are still learning what that means in daily life. I pray that today as we sit at your feet, as we drink from the fountain, the source of life, that we'd be encouraged, enriched, and strengthened. Bless every teacher and every student and every class today in Jesus' name. Amen.